Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Public Affairs. My name is Riggs from 103.7 KISS FM. We're also heard on 99.1 The Mix, Sports Radio 1250 AM The Fan, and Hot 105.7, Milwaukee's new number one for hip-hop and R&B. November is National Diabetes Awareness Month. In fact, this past November 1st was T1D Day. That's type 1 diabetes. A lot of people don't know there's two types of diabetes. There's type 1 and type 2. On the phone this morning, the development manager for Juvenile Diabetes Research, JDRF, we'll call it JDRF Wisconsin, Aaron Vella. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
We're pretty good. Now, it is National Diabetes Awareness Month, and you all focus on type 1 diabetes, which a lot of people confuse the two. There are two different types, and just I'll start talking. Let me know if I have anything wrong, but 10% of all diabetics are type 1 diabetes. Is that still a fact, a correct fact?
Yes.
Okay. So you got 10% of diabetics are type 1, the rest are type 2. What's the difference? It all boils down to your pancreas. What's the pancreas? It's an organ in your body, part of your digestive system, that regulates your blood sugar levels. It produces insulin. So in a regular body, with your pancreas, let's say you eat a slice of cake. When you eat that sugar and carbs in your body, your blood sugar levels raise. Your pancreas secretes insulin to make your blood sugar levels go down to regulate everything, keep you normal. Normal pancreas works just fine and does that all automatically. In type 2 diabetes, the pancreas will produce some insulin or maybe a little bit of insulin or maybe just way too much insulin. It just doesn't work correctly. So with type 2 diabetes, you can regulate your blood sugar levels, usually with medication. You can use diet and exercise to help manage the disease. But type 2 diabetes is very different from type 1 diabetes. The pancreas just doesn't work at all in a type 1 diabetic's body. So if a type 1 diabetic eats that piece of cake, their pancreas doesn't automatically secrete the insulin. So a type 1 diabetic is insulin dependent. They would have to take an injection, an insulin shot, to help put their blood sugar levels down because of the food they've put in their body. There's a lot of calculations when you're eating food as a type 1 diabetic. A lot of people say, oh yeah, that's juvenile diabetes. Only kids can get that, right? No. Well, kids can get diagnosed and are diagnosed probably at a higher rate than adults, but it can really, you can get diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at any age. In fact, hasn't there been some older ages of people who've been diagnosed, Aaron?
Correct. Yeah, it's not just kids anymore. We're seeing people being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, even late into their 50s and 60s. So
wow.
It's really vast array from, we've had children diagnosed at 3-4 months and all the way up into 50s and 60s. So it can really strike anyone at any time.
And my wife is a type 1 diabetic, and this is something that as a type 1 diabetic, you deal with every single day. You can't shut this off. So you're constantly monitoring your blood sugar. You're constantly doing mental calculations as far as what can I eat? I can eat this cake, but I'm going to have to take insulin for it. How much insulin should I take? Now I've taken too much insulin. Now I've got a low blood sugar. It's just a constant balancing act that they struggle with on a day-to-day basis. So, and I can't imagine living with a child with type 1 diabetes. And I've met some of the kids through the organization, JDRF, and these kids are just amazing, and their parents are resilient as well, because you've got this little kid you got to chase around, and kids want to eat anything and everything they can get their hands on, which has to be so frustrating as a parent. But these are the kind of kids and the families that you help with JDRF. So what exactly is your mission with JDRF? Like, how do you help in southeastern Wisconsin?
Sure. So JDRF is the leading global organization that funds type 1 diabetes research. And our vision is really to create a world without type 1 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a pipeline of research that we work on just to bring cures to type 1s as fast as we can. So there's a lot of different things in our research portfolio. So we do things that help with management of the disease, but ultimately we are looking to make a cure for type 1.
So you some of the research that you guys work on are things like, I think it was called an artificial pancreas. That's kind of a name for it that's like used with air quotes, but it basically works as a pancreas because, as we said earlier, type 1, it doesn't work. So that kind of helps to regulate your blood sugar almost automatically, right?
Right, that's correct. So the artificial pancreas project is something that JDRF really was the global leader on a number of years ago. So it essentially takes a continuous glucose monitor or CGM system, mm-hmm. which is what monitors your blood sugars, and a device that will give insulin injections and an algorithm that makes the two of them talk to each other, so that it takes the management of the disease off of the person a little bit. You know, there's still the calculations and knowing the carbs that are in the food that you're eating and your activity and your sleep and all that kind of stuff that plays into it, but it lessens the burden of management.
Yep. November is National Diabetes Awareness Month. We're talking with Aaron Vella from JDRF Wisconsin. That's Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. But we shorten that to JDRF because that's a mouthful. And it's not just kids anymore. But now, obviously, this has been a crazy year for a lot of people. COVID has changed the landscape of everything. Many events have been canceled, fundraisers, walks. How has this changed for you at JDRF? How has the landscape changed at JDRF in the light of the pandemic?
Oh, gosh. You know, us at JDRF, like almost all other nonprofits, have taken a really hard hit because of COVID. So, unfortunately, because of the pandemic, we had to make drastic changes in our organization. We saw an overall 40% decline in our fundraising since March. And with that said, we had to eliminate more than 40% of our staff positions across the country, consolidate chapters. So it's been a pretty tough year. We really recognized that we were vulnerable as an all event-based organization. So, you know, we've been working to kind of reimagine our events into virtual spaces like all other nonprofits have been doing during this time. You know, what's really encouraging, though, is that we are seeing some great support still. So it's our community has really pulled together and done as much as we can in light of the current landscape.
Right. Do you guys, I don't think this was on our questions, but what do you guys do as far as advocacy? Do you do as far as like talking to legislators about getting laws changed or so that people with living with type 1 diabetes can get better access to insulin and medication and supplies and things like that?
Yes, absolutely. Advocacy is a huge piece of our business. Every chapter has a number of people, volunteers that kind of lead our advocacy charge. So they're you know, responsible for getting meetings with our representatives on both sides of the political line, yeah, and really just kind of telling their stories. So we have two different campaigns that run in alternate years. We have the Promise to Remember Me campaign. So we're taking families to talk to, well, and now in this space virtually, talk to our representatives to tell their stories and to so that hopefully, you know, when they're making decisions at their level, they're remembering the stories that the families have told them. And then the alternate campaign that we run is we actually send families to Capitol Hill to talk in person with them. Unfortunately, that has been put off for this year,
right,
with COVID. But it's something that we really focus on in the last few years, especially with the changes in the insurance landscape,
mm-hmm,
making sure that the one of the major conversations that we're having is getting insurance coverage and access to insulin and different devices and stuff for our families.
We're talking with Aaron Vella this morning. She's the development manager for JDRF Southeastern Wisconsin, and it is November and National Diabetes Awareness Month. So with National Diabetes Awareness Month, this is probably a big month of fundraising. You guys have, like you said, you were kind of events-based, so now you're evolving and doing things differently. So what is going on this month specifically for National Diabetes Awareness Month with you at JDRF?
Sure. So with it being National Diabetes Awareness Month, we have a campaign that we're running that's called The Power of Us. It's really a reflection on how T1D progress has been achieved through the power of our T1D community. You know, I've been working with JDRF for 11 years, and through that time, I have met hundreds and hundreds of families that I've grown very close to, and really they're the best. They really help us to achieve our mission by doing great fundraising, the advocacy side of things. Our campaign for November this year is really celebrating how we all come together to drive our mission forward.
And so there's a lot of things. It's a misunderstood disease, type 1 diabetes. What are some of the biggest misconceptions that you have found working with JDRF about type 1 diabetes?
So like we were talking about earlier, just the difference between type 1 and type 2, that's a very common mistake that people kind of have in their minds. They assume that if a kid has diabetes, it's because they're overweight or they don't have a healthy diet. It has nothing to do with diet and exercise. Type 1 is an autoimmune disease where your pancreas just stops working. So that's one thing that we really try and get education awareness around. When a child wants to eat something, when they have type 1 diabetes, a lot of people, they say, they shouldn't be eating that. They truly can eat anything they want as long as they know carb count and how their body reacts to that and what insulin needs to be given to offset that.
Yes, I've heard that too, because people will ask my wife, who is a type 1 diabetic, they're like, you can't eat any sugar. You're not supposed to eat sugar. You can't eat that. And I'm like, no, you can. You have to be smart about it and know what you're doing. It's like we said earlier, it's a constant balancing act that you live with every single day. And this constant calculations about how much sugar is in this, how much, and it's hidden in so many things. You don't think about where sugar lives in every day-to-day food, like tomatoes or carrots. Those can cause spikes in people's blood sugars that you don't even think about. So you would think, wow, carrots, that looks healthy. Well, sure, but it's also going to raise your blood sugar a little bit. So it's knowing that as a type 1 diabetic and probably as the parent of a child that has type 1 diabetes.
Yes.
What kind of tools do parents have for children with type 1 diabetes to help them manage? Because it's a 24-hour, 7 days a week, 365 days a year gig. What kind of tools are out there for parents of children with type 1 diabetes?
Sure. Yeah, I would say one of the tools that our families, I think, really appreciate the most are the CGM, so the continuous glucose monitor systems. A lot of those are Bluetooth enabled, so they're able to actually see their child's blood sugar on their phones, and you can share it with a number of people, so mom can see it, dad can see it, their teacher can see it, and just know where their blood sugar is at all the time, even when they're sending them to school or to sports and other things like that. It's a really helpful tool to be able to know where your kid's blood sugar is at, even if they're not physically with you.
It's for adults, too. My wife had one of those for a while, and I could monitor her blood sugars like while I was at work and she's at home or she's sleeping. And I could say, hey, wake up, you had a low blood sugar, or your blood sugar is very high. Are you okay? Are you taking care of it? So, because the kids probably don't know how to check their blood sugar. That's probably something that they learn as they get older, but they're very, very little kids. They're going to prick their own finger and read their own blood sugar. They don't know how that works. How do you work with educating these families as well? Do you provide any sort of education for some of these families?
Yeah, so we have a great relationship and partnership with Children's Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
That's typically in our area where children are diagnosed. Our endo office there they're fantastic. They've got great great nurses, great staff that help when children are newly diagnosed. They go through a series of education days to learn how to manage their type 1 diabetes and blood sugars. And we also at JDRF have a mentor program where we kind of pair up families who've been diagnosed for a little bit longer and have, the experience of raising children with type 1. So we can pair them with families to be able to, kind of wade through the new lifestyle together and ask questions. And, if my kid has a low blood sugar and I can't seem to get it back up. And we've got a number of resources, social media pages and things where our community can connect.
That's got to be great, because it's probably not only physically taxing, but emotionally taxing, dealing with that every day. You can't turn it off. It's something that's constantly looming every single day. So that's great that you have a support system for the families. That's just a nice program for parents to know that if your child is diagnosed as a type 1 diabetic, there's programs that JDRF out there offers. Like you said, they're with children that can help you kind of, get up and running and get the education that you need. And you were talking again about the Power of Us campaign, where you guys are doing this for National Diabetes Awareness Month. So how are you asking people to kind of get involved with this campaign so people can reach out, they can help, they can donate, and they can, get involved with the cause?
Sure. So a lot of the campaign is about raising awareness. So we are doing a lot of things on social media. So we're asking if people want to follow us, Facebook or JDRF Wisconsin chapter, same thing on Instagram.
Say that one more time, JDRF Wisconsin chapter, correct?
Correct. Yep. Okay. Gator Rec Wisconsin chapter. And so following us on social media, sharing our posts, Gwither is on Facebook. You can change your profile picture with a frame for JDRF. So a lot of social things. And then also, obviously, donations, which help drive our mission forward. So there's at JDRF.org, there's a donate button at the top that they can visit to make a general donation. Otherwise, getting in contact with our local chapter here, and we can kind of help if you want to start your own fundraising campaign or get involved in some of the other programs that we have.
And you said something about, I mean, supporting local. Are there some businesses that are also helping give back and providing, like, kickbacks for JDRF?
Yeah, so we every November we have a number of restaurants and bars and small local businesses that will run campaigns for us that give us different kickbacks, percentages of sales, or, you know, run just point of purchase sales for us. So we're still kind of gathering those all together, and those will be posted on our website, jdrf.org/Wisconsin, soon.
Cool. And National Diabetes Awareness Month ends with Giving Tuesday on December the 1st. What happens on, what's special about Giving Tuesday?
So Giving Tuesday is actually a national nonprofit day where all nonprofits really do a push to kind of kick off the end of year giving. So again, for that, we ask people to go to jdrf.org for the donation button at the top.
JDRF.org is the website. What do you see as the future of type 1 diabetes? Like, if you could paint a perfect picture, obviously a cure, but what are some things that you would like to see happen in the next couple of years that would make great advancements for people, just to give some people with type 1 diabetes hope?
Yeah, so our research portfolio is super vast. It's some of the greatest minds coming together to really kind of push forward what's going to get us to the cure fast. That's where we really focus in our research dollars on is what we think in our pipeline is going to make the most difference the fastest for families. So I guess in the perfect world, we'll get to the cure or cures. It might not always just be one cure for everyone. Whatever is going to get us there the fastest.
That's beautiful. Again, obviously, you weren't able to do the walk this year, so we're probably not going to be able to do a gala next year. So all the awareness we can raise through social media and through the Power of Us campaign is beautiful. So again, hit us again with your social handles so people know where to find you, where to follow you, your websites, the important particulars that people can remember and take and move forward.
Sure. Social media, both Facebook and Instagram, we are JDRF Wisconsin chapter. Our organization website is jdrf.org. And if you want to drill down into our local chapter, it's jdrf.org/Wisconsin.
jdrf.org/Wisconsin, JDRF Southeastern on the social medias. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I'm glad that organizations like you guys are out there to help people like my wife, who's a type 1 diabetic, and the, you know, tens of thousands of kids around the country and here in southeastern Wisconsin that are living with it every single day. I know you guys are making great strides, and I wish you a fantastic National Diabetes Awareness Month. Thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. We appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Again, that was Aaron Vella from JDRF, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. The website, again, is jdrf.org, jdrf.org. Putting in the important work and spreading the message about type 1 diabetes for National Diabetes Awareness Month. My name is Riggs from 103.7 KISS FM here in Milwaukee. Thanks so much for listening this morning, and especially to this one. This is a cause that's near and dear to me personally. I don't know if you care about that, but I do. My wife, as I said a couple times, is a type 1 diabetic, so JDRF has always been a cause that's near and dear to me. I appreciate their mission of turning type 1 into type none, and I would encourage you to look up and do a little bit of research if you're curious about diabetes. Maybe you know someone that has diabetes. It's National Diabetes Awareness Month, and their website, again, jdrf.org. Thank you for listening to the Sunday Morning Public Affairs Show. We're also heard on 1250 AM The Fan, 99.1 The Mix, and Hot 105.7, Milwaukee's new number one for hip-hop and R&B. Again, my name is Riggs, and I'll talk to you tomorrow morning on 103.7 KISS FM.